our new weekend meteorologist, Tim Joyce, who joined WGN a couple of weeks ago, and thought we would invite Tim in, get to know him a little bit, welcome him back home to Chicago, because he's originally from the area. And now you are live guest number two. Today is our it's the return to live guests here.
I also came in theatrical makeup, so well, perfect.
If only that were the case. You probably do still have some makeup on from being on TV this morning.
I mean, I sweated some of it out on the walk over here, but it's a lovely day in the Windy City to be sweating out in the sunshine. I love it.
This is a good day to be a meteorologist, you know, taking phone calls if you'd like to call and say hello to Tim or ask a question. This would be a good day to have the meteorologist here when the weather is so nice outside.
Pleasant. Absolutely.
Yeah. Before we get started, how long is this nice weather going to last?
You know, it looks like maybe Wednesday, Thursday. And it depends on how you define nice, because different people have different thoughts. I know some people love the heat, which case then you're in luck. Thursday could be like topping out 88. Today, very pleasant, 82. So somewhere in that range, we'll be in the 80s probably until we get towards the end of the week.
That's good to know. Yeah, good to know. Good to know. What's it like for you to be joining WGN? I mean, you grew up in Oak Park. You're a kid watching WGN growing up, right?
Surreal is a word that comes to mind, but also feels so comfortable. I believe it was one of the folks in the creative services department. We did a photo shoot on day one for all the headshots and stuff and the web. And he said, yeah, WGN feels like a comfortable old shoe. They're not the Nike Air Jordans. And I thought, that's a really nice way to put it.
Yeah.
So it's a very comfortable feel. Everyone's been super, super nice there, which always puts me on edge. You wait for the other shoe to drop. When does the nice turn nasty? And it just doesn't. They just keep being nice.
Yeah, for the most part, we're pretty nice people. If everyone takes their medication.
That is the caveat, perhaps.
Yeah, it's a key. So talk a little about your background and growing up here.
I grew up in Oak Park, a fourth generation Oak Parker. Family's claim to fame supposedly is that my grandfather was born into the arms of Ernest Hemingway's dad.
Really?
So, yeah, because he was a doctor out in Oak Park.
Huh.
And so, yeah, so fourth generation Oak Parker, I think third to go to Oak Park River Forest High School. My grandfather did, my mom and my dad both did. So I'm class of 91, go Huskies.
Yeah.
And went off to college in Kansas, did a couple bouts of storm chasing there, but absolutely terrifying. I do have a very rational fear of being struck by lightning, so not always the best thing to be done. Yeah.
Very smart. I always am a little scared when I hear meteorologists going, yeah, I'm driving right into that tornado. It's like, why?
I'm like, don't we tell people to stay indoors when thunder roars?
You know, can see it without driving right into the middle of it.
Exactly. And then spent some time on the West Coast in Eugene and then in Portland, Oregon. We talked about the pizza there last segment, so we'll touch on that. And then
I have to get the lowdown on that.
Exactly. And then in Seattle almost 10 years before heading back home.
Yeah. So were you a child? Did you watch Bozo growing up?
I did. Watched Bozo. I went to a taping there on Bradley Place. I did not make it on the grand prize game, so I was super sad about that.
Right.
I would have totally loved to have gone for the grand prize at the sixth bucket.
Right, yeah, the Schwinn Fastback Pike, yeah.
I mean, can't go wrong. Yeah. Every kid wants one.
Of course.
Now every kid wants an iPad or something.
It's such a communal experience. I mean, those kinds of things for anyone who grew up here, no matter where you go, you know, you go live in other cities for a while. Those things kind of stay with you a little bit.
Oh, for sure.
You know, your background as a Chicagoan. Like, what other things do you remember about growing up here in Chicago?
Oh, I mean, so many things. The fun thunderstorms, the lightning bugs, the, you know, going out to, you know, ride in the forest preserve on the bikes. Just so many things. Coming down into the city to go to North Avenue or Fullerton Avenue Beach, depending where the Clark Street bus dropped us off. So lots of great memories of growing up here, and so glad to be back home and back where it's happening. And nice to have actual summers for a change, because the Northwest, it's fantastic weather, but if you like the summer heat, it is not the place for
you. Yeah, yeah. Were you a weather geek growing up? I mean, did you all sort of always know? I mean, Tom Skilling, you know, famously tells the story of how he, as a boy growing up out in Aurora, would call Harry Volkman nonstop. You know, there was the weather guy back in the day, and, you know, bother him and uh, not bother him, we would call and ask questions. I'm sure Harry never thought of it as a bother having the same kid calling him over and over and over again. But Tom famously did that.
Yeah, not quite to that extent.
Okay.
But definitely a weather geek to aspire to. The Skilling model of childhood behavior, definitely something to model myself after if I could go back and do it again. But yeah, loved the weather, loved talking about weather, and also, you know, when I was out on the left coast doing environmental reporting as well. So always sort of a passion for sort of the great outdoors. Definitely respect for Mother Nature, for sure. But not quite to the extent of the Skilling model. But
yeah,
you know, we can all hope to dare to such aspirations.
So if you grew up with Bozo, then you grew up with Skilling too.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah. I did not tell them that in my interview when we were chatting via Zoom during the pandemic. But, you know, I remember in about third grade at Longfellow Elementary School when we were going to get a meteorologist come. And I was kind of mad it wasn't Skilling. It was another station. But I was like, oh, it's not Tom. But... now I get to work with him. So,
yeah, that's got to be. I mean, he's kind of considered
legendary,
the greatest weatherman in America.
I'm not one to disagree.
Yeah,
absolutely.
To be part of this weather team, I would think. It's got to be a little scary, is it, walking into a shop like this?
You know, I guess...
You know, when you have the weather credentials as a Paul Conrad also.
There you go. you know, I just sort of look at it as I'm the newest student at Tom Skilling University. I sort of refer to him as the professor, and I just hope to soak up a lot because he knows
everything,
just about everything there is
everything,
to know.
Yeah.
And yeah, just to be the sponge and to gain the knowledge.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about... your background, some of your other interests and hobbies. It says in your official WGN bio, which
I have a bio. Ooh,
I didn't even know there was a bio. Often the people in our in the PR department at WGN just make stuff up. They put for years I was a unicycle driver in
that's a skill set.
Had to get that changed. Yeah, except I don't do that. but it says in yours that you are a master gardener.
Yes,
is that true?
That is actually true.
Okay,
well, people are more impressed than they should be by that, but it is true.
What do you mean? Why wouldn't we be impressed?
I think you think master gardener, you think expert of all, but what it really taught me, because it's only 11-week program, it's one day a week for 8 hours, and then it's like a 50-hour volunteer practicum where you take gardening questions and
call. So this is like you have a certificate saying you're a master gardener.
In Oregon and Washington, I'm not certified in Illinois, so I have to reach out to those folks to do that. It's state by state.
It's like being a doctor.
Yeah, plant doctor, sort of. Yeah.
Wow.
It really taught me how little I know about horticulture and where to look stuff up. But it definitely gave me a real good base in plants and plant biology.
Well, I want to talk about that with you, and maybe we'll take some gardening questions.
Well, I might have to call people back and look stuff up for them, but I'm happy to do so. You can always follow me on Twitter at TimJoyceWX.
It's 312-981-7200 if you'd like to say hello to Tim or if you've got a question for him. Either on the phone or on the text. I did a drive up and down the Oregon coast, and that might have been the most beautiful place I've ever seen in America.
It is beautiful.
The coast of Oregon.
It's, if you get caught behind someone in a Winnebago going 35, it will be one of the longest drives of your life.
That's true. I remember a lot of lumber trucks.
Yeah.
Trucks hauling trees.
It's one of their major exports.
And things like that.
Yeah.
But still, just gorgeous. And you're right on the ocean there. It was it great for you?
It was beautiful.
Predicting weather.
I remember the weather is just a different animal altogether because the topography there rules the show as opposed to here where the air masses definitely rule the day. But remember one of my first reporting assignments out in just the wilderness, and I get out of the car and I say to the news photographer, I'm like, are we in a forest preserve? And he looks at me and goes, preserve like jelly? And I'm like, no, like a forest preserve where you keep the trees. And he's like, no, it's just a forest, plain old forest. I was like, it smells like Christmas. He's like, you mean pine trees? I'm like, yeah, I'm kind of a city kid. So.
It smells like Christmas.
It smells like Christmas. It was July.
Yeah.
And he's like, that would be pine trees.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. What do you make of, the all we hear about the Pacific Northwest is it never stops raining.
We are required to tell that to Californians, I think, so they don't move there in mass quantities and drive up the real estate prices.
Yeah.
But it's more like a mist or a drizzle. I describe the Pacific Northwest to Chicagoans or any Midwesterner as the longest April and October of your life. So for me, if it's not hot and a little bit sweaty, it's not really summer. So summer there in Seattle lasts maybe 2 weeks. They see about 4 days on average above 90, whereas we see about 26 or so.
Yeah, yeah. So what's the deal with Portland pizza now? This new book that's going to be coming out has said that Portland pizza is the greatest pizza in America. What blasphemy. I can't believe that any publisher would agree to put those words on paper.
It seems, and I lived in Portland for almost 7 years, and the food there is good. I'll say it's a foodie city for sure. A little backstory on Portland. They drew lines around the city called urban growth boundaries in the 70s to keep the forest, the farm, and the city, so it's contained.
Yeah.
So you have these farms that are so close to all these restaurants, and so all these chefs are trying really new and interesting things. That being said, the pizza's interesting there. Not quite, I think, as good. It's very New York style in the sense it's that giant, huge, unmanageable triangle. You have to fold it in half to eat it.
Yeah, right.
So they do put interesting things on it. Squash, tofu cheese, barbecue chicken.
Brother.
But you've got to fold it in half and eat it like a calzone. So it's not what I consider pizza. It's more like a sauce boat you shove in your mouth.
Yeah.
It's good, but I'm definitely a Chicago pizza fan through and through.
Yeah, so these guys, it sounds like these guys that wrote this book are snooty, foodies.
Or just impressed by these fresh local ingredients that they can experiment with.
Unusual ingredients.
That's
insane.
Eggplant's great. Do I want it on my pizza? Maybe not.
Tofu pizza? No way. No way. Although I do make, I will say,
if you're lactose intolerant, tofu cheese is the way to go.
Well, I guess so. To each his own. I've said, somebody texted in and asked him, hot dogs, ketchup or no ketchup?
Oh, no ketchup. Never.
Yeah.
Never. I'll take a brat over a hot dog, though, anytime, for sure. Give me a Wisconsin brat, for sure.
Yeah.
In Seattle, almost all the food trucks sell hot dogs there, and Seattle dogs come with grilled onions and cream cheese. And put cream cheese on anything, it's pretty good. So you can take or leave the onions as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, this is turning into food blasphemy here today. Cream cheese, really?
Cream
onions
cheese.
And cream cheese.
I mean, if you're drunk, anything's good with cream cheese on it.
Well, I guess if I can go to White Castle's at 3 a.m, they can eat some cream cheese on their hot dog. That seems like a reasonable idea. But my point is, I also don't put ketchup on my hot dog, but I am not a ketchup hater.
No.
I'm not one that, if you want ketchup, put whatever you want on your hot dog. It doesn't matter to me. And I guess if you want to put tofu on your pizza and eggplant on your pizza, it sounds interesting, but it just, I'm not a fan of all of that.
Exactly.
Personally.
Well, and I found in my older age that the things I would mostly put ketchup on, I would just put salsa on instead. So that if you want that tomatoey feel, I want the kick to it instead of just the sweetness of
ketchup. The sweetness of ketchup, All right, very interesting.
Yeah.
All right. So talk to me a little bit about your master gardener. What does this mean? Did you have a fantastic garden at one point?
Well, my roommates for a while called me disaster gardener because I would try different experiments. Like, oh, will the plants grow this way if I start them this way? If I put them in this kind of a pot or this kind of fertilizer? So I'd try stuff out. And I would definitely learn more from my failures than my successes. So for a while, my roommates did call me disaster gardener after I finished the coursework in 2003. But a lot of it was just having...
You must have had some successes, though.
Sure. I mean, when I lived in Portland, I had chickens. I had a full garden. I decided to kill my front lawn and put in strawberries instead. So that was kind of fun for ground cover. I was really into sort of permaculture, which is sort of an edible landscapes, which is sort of foods that you can build into the landscape. So a lot of blueberries in the front yard, strawberries everywhere you could plant them, fruit trees, so you could eat the landscape as well as enjoy the flowers when they're blooming.
Yeah, I'm a fan of that. I don't know if I'm a, I know that I'm not a master gardener, but I do enjoy gardening a lot. I find it incredibly relaxing.
Yeah.
In my backyard right now, my tomatoes are just coming like beautifully right now. I picked a few last night. They're actually, have turned red, and the ones that the rabbits didn't get to, I missed. Let me get these in the house before the rabbit comes out and has a second course out here. I've got cucumbers, I've got green peppers and Swiss chard. And I've got I like all edible things. Also, it seems like if you're going to put in all that work, you get something out of it at the same
yeah,
time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm also a very lazy gardener too. So things that you can plant, you can get multiple uses from is great. You know, something like kale can be both an ornamental and something you eat. So it's, it serves a dual purpose. And yeah. always plant a little extra for the rabbits because there are a lot of them out there these
there,
days.
This season, especially for some reason.
Feels like since the pandemic, I've been noticing rabbits more than rats, yeah. which is great.
I guess so. So you just got a place in the Andersonville neighborhood. Are you going to have a garden there?
You know, it's an apartment building, so I'm going to see what I can do. There's a concrete pad in the back, and there's room for some container gardens. So I'm definitely going to try. It's a little late in the season, but I think you can always get your garden growing. We shall see. A lot of it depends on how much containers I can squeeze into a small space, yeah. which surprisingly, you can grow a lot of stuff. For sure. So looking forward to that. But firstly, I've got to get furniture, those kind of things.
Furniture.
Yeah. Exactly.
You get some tomatoes growing in the backyard. Who needs someplace to sleep?
I can sleep on a mattress on the floor forever.
Yeah there you go. Tim Joyce is here from WGN-TV, and we'll get to some of your questions on our text line for him, and also on the phone lines, 312-981-7200, WGN. It's 11:49, Dean Richards Sunday morning on WGN, and Tim Joyce is here from the WGN television weekend morning news. You hear him here on WGN radio as well. And let me see here. A lot of people are really impressed that you admit to being a Sox fan. I'm not sure what that means exactly, but yeah. You know, people are saying that, you know, they love you. 219 area code says, "Welcome, a gardener, a garden lover, and a Sox fan. I'm a Tim fan already."
All right.
Yeah, see, that's nice. 847 says, "I love Tim's sense of humor, and he's a Sox fan." So, you know, people are digging that part about you.
Well, it just happened that way. Just happened to be coming of age when the Sox were really good at 83, 84, and watching Carlton Fisk down at the old Comiskey, just what you did.
So somebody said, "Tim, you are wrong about the pizza places. I never folded pizza in Portland." Are okay. we unfolding a new controversy here?
Perhaps. I don't know. I mean, there's, to give you an idea of how deep the Portland cuisine scene is, you know, you take a city like Seattle, which is even bigger than Portland. They've got like 5 food trucks that sell all hot dogs, and Portland has 600 plus, and they sell all sorts of different kinds of cuisine. So I'm sure there's more than one kind of pizza in right. Portland. Predominantly, though, it is that New York style where it's pretty, pretty large triangle slices.
I think that's pretty predominant all across America. I mean, really, Chicago is the only place that I know that serves pizza tavern cut.
Yeah, that little square cuts.
In the little square cuts, which are the greatest thing ever, because I agree about the, maybe it's just because that's what I grew up with and that's what I'm comfortable with, but I find if I'm in New York or someplace and I get a slice and you got to fold the whole thing up and it's falling all over the place, it's like this just does not make sense at all.
I mean, as far as being able to consume mass quantities, is that best for the waistline? Maybe not, but I will take it anytime, day or night.
Don't bring that into the conversation. 708 area code says, "Tim, do you remember the wild goose at Ridgeland Commons?" I don't even know what that is. I've never heard of that.
Ridgeland Commons is one of the two pools, public pools in Oak Park. I was more of a Ream pool kind of a kid because I was on the south side of town, but I do not remember the wild goose at Ridgeland Commons. I remember the ice skating rink and falling down on my backside many times at Ridgeland Commons, but never in the summer months.
About that. Okay. All right. Very good. Please tell Tim, welcome to the WGN team. He's been a wonderful addition. I've seen most of his spots.
Was that my dad? Is that my dad sending texts in?
Might be.
Could be.
Yeah, could be. Have been enjoying his spots. He's doing a great job and looking forward to his forecasts.
Oh, very nice. Thank you so much.
Very nice. You know, a couple of people ask, who did Tim replace? And we've talked about that many times.
Yeah.
Our friend Mike Hammernick, who used to be on our show here all the time. Mike was such a good guy. You know, if there was ever any bad weather, I'd call Mike Sell and I'd say, you know, do you have 5 minutes to come on the phone with us? to come on the radio with us, and he always did, and he was so passionate about the weather and did such a great job. And sadly, Mike passed away earlier this year. Tim is, you know, got some big shoes to fill with
Tim,
and is sure doing a great job, you know, in his early days here at WGN. Somebody asking if you ever crossed paths with Joe Donlan when you were, he was an anchorman in Portland when you were there, and now he's on News Nation.
We were cross paths at different stories and such. We were at different stations. So, and now even at WGN, he's on the second floor and we're on the first.
Right,
so.
Right. But we're not allowed to go upstairs.
No, not allowed. We have these electroshock collars to go past.
Where? Oh, you got your electroshock collar.
Yeah, uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good. That's very good. So what are you looking forward to? What are you looking forward to, you know, getting into now that you're back in Chicago? I mean, you know, you're keeping busy, of course, doing the weather, and you're doing a lot of fill-in. For everybody else. But, you know, what will you be doing with your spare time now?
Well, I'm going to show off the Windy City to my partner. So they're from Sydney, Australia. So convincing them to move to the Windy City was challenging. It was like, well, you know, when it's 20 below, it's really sunny. And he just looks at me like, okay, cool. So, yeah, things like Great America, obviously all this fun stuff to do in the city, Chicago Historical Society, the Art Institute, getting out on the river, maybe even kayaking. Of course, the beaches, we've yet to even do that because we've been putting together furniture and shopping for stuff to actually have a place to sit down. We have a couch now, so that's awesome.
Worst. Isn't moving the worst? It's the worst thing in the world, moving.
The further the move, though, I think actually the easier it is, because once you're moving 2,000 miles, you're just like, just get rid of everything.
Oh.
And just start over.
Okay. All right.
I remember it because he asked me, he says, it was very diplomatic. Can we get things that actually match in the new place? And I was like, oh, it's sweet of you that you think I have a say. So by all means, you can be in charge of where everything
is. Does he
goes.
Have one of those Australian accents?
It is a bit of a blend because he spent time in Sydney and then in London and New York Seattle.
So it's kind of continental then.
It's intercontinental, yes. We went to his first IHOP trip was actually somewhere in Montana. He's like, why is this international? And I was like, I could not tell you. Belgian waffles, French toast, perhaps.
Yeah, there you go.
So we don't have this in Australia.
That's a fantastic. I never in a million years would have thought, why is this called International House of Pancakes?
Exactly.
I guess it sounds bigger and better that way.
It certainly does.
Yeah.
It doesn't make it bigger or better, but.
Yeah. Well, thank you for coming in.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Anytime.
It's so nice of you to do that. Been enjoying you on the air. Been enjoying your, and you came in. I think you started right when that whole batch of tornadoes was
just after that.
It was just after it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, you know, what's a good, makes me feel comfortable is it somebody who understands the weather in this area, because it's so different here in the Chicago area, and somebody who has, you know, sort of an academic knowledge of meteorology as well. I don't know if you consider yourself a weather geek.
Aspiring weather geek always.
Yeah. I think that is going to be to our benefit that somebody who's passionate as you are about the weather is there and keeping an eye on things when, you know, things happen. And they often do on, you know, weekend mornings. I can't even tell you the number of times, you know, poor Mike Hammernick, we would bother him to answer weather questions or when, you know, all hell is breaking loose outside that, you know, he would hop on the phone and explain to us where it is and where it's going and what's happening so people had a better understanding of all that. So feel comfortable with you at the helm, I guess,
well,
is what I'm saying.
Feel free to give me a call anytime.
Well, we appreciate you coming by. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
It is Tim Joyce, the WGN Weekend Morning News weatherman. And coming up after, I don't know if you know this or not, but today is National Ice Cream Day. I think you guys were talking about this
a lot.
On the
and rainbow cone.
And, well, as it turns out, have you ever had rainbow?
It's been a long time, but
rainbow ice cream? Oh, you have had it. Good. We actually have the owner of Rainbow Ice Cream who's going to be on the show with us here.
And they're opening a Northside location.
They are opening locations all over the city.
Fantastic.
They're kind of... not exactly merging with Bona Beef, Italian Beef, but they are kind of in partnership with them.
Well, that's a good partnership.
That's a really good partnership. A nice Italian beef involved. Sandwich, a nice rainbow cone. You can't beat any
dinner
of
and dessert all in one place.
That's right. Exactly right.